Now let's ask our Father in heaven to help us as we look into his word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do come before you. We rejoice in you. As we've sung this morning, Lord, as we've looked to you, we continue. And now as we open your word, Father, I ask that you would open our hearts, Lord, open our minds, that we would be able to receive from you. I pray that you would use the words, the thoughts that you've put in my heart and bring them out in clarity and in power this morning. That you would be exalted, Lord, you would be glorified, and that we, your people, would know you better, and walk harder after you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the message that I have this morning is, it's kind of a controversial message. You know, I can't remember the last time I heard a message about the Sabbath. You know, we all know that it's in the Bible, or most of us know that. We see some other religions who practice it in different ways. But it's within the Church of Jesus Christ, it's relatively controversial, and for the most part, we kind of stay away from it. But we got to remember that our Lord, oftentimes we don't think of Jesus as controversial, but has there ever been a more controversial man in the history of earth? There's no one who's walked on the face of the earth that said what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to the Father. Wowza. Now you say that in the world we live in, there's only one way. You know, people lose their jobs because of that. People get ostracized because of that. He said, if you want to be great, you've got to humble yourself. You've got to become the servant of all. He said, if you really want a great life, if you really want to gain life, you've got to lose it. He said, it's better to give than to receive. Our Lord was and is very controversial. The idea of Sabbath and of rest is controversial. You know, sometimes I've heard it said, and I think it's true, sometimes the best way to define something is to start by saying what it's not. And so this morning, when we're talking about Sabbath, let me start by saying some of the things that I'm not saying, and I believe the Scriptures do not say to us. It's not, the Sabbath isn't really about keeping all these laws, about gaining approval with God. We saw what happened in the Old Testament when the people of God tried to do that. They heaped more and more laws and regulations and do's and don'ts. It's really not about what day is the Sabbath. You know, there's a lot of confusion now. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Can it be any day? It's not what we're tempted to create, our own list of do's and don'ts. And I think that's within the heart. I know within my heart, I'm so tempted to kind of create these lists of things I can do and I can't do. And if I can walk in that, then I'm feeling pretty good. That's not what the Sabbath's about. That's not what our God's about. But that's a temptation that we have as people to, I want to be right with God. I want to do it my way. No, that's not what it's about. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 2. And this is really As you know, in many places in the New Testament, Jesus is confronted with the issue, what is the Sabbath? And how come oftentimes he was getting in trouble with the Pharisees and the Sadducees? He was getting in trouble with the religious leaders because he wasn't lining up with all the laws. And so in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 23, and it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests. And he also gave it to those who were with him." And this is the point here. And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." So often we get that one, just like the Pharisees, we get that one crossed up and we say, oh, we kind of put it on the side because all it is just Old Testament stuff. It doesn't really relate to us in Christ. We have a new covenant, which we do. But it does relate to us. And with that in mind, let's remember that the Sabbath is to free us, to allow us. God created us in a way that we need rest. And when we try to live without rest, and I'm going to mention a few things here, it gets a little crazy. It's not good. So what does it mean to us? The definition of Sabbath is simple. It's just cease work. Stop working. Rest. In creation, we see it right from the beginning. When God created everything, 6 days, he was about creation. The last day was what? God rested. But it was man's what? It was man's first day. The first day, the first thing man did wasn't, you know, get up on Monday morning and out the door to work. No, the first day was, wow, this is your creation, God. You are unbelievable. It was man seeing the glory of God and resting in that. Work was not number one. The world that we live in today, and especially, I think it's especially true in the Northeast. It's probably true out in the West Coast too, certain spots. But there's rush, there's what we call the rat race. And I don't know, I don't like to call my brothers and sisters rats, but, you know, sometimes I'm a little rat. You know, I'm racing around, you know, and you don't even know what day it is. You're caught up in the pace of life. And that's not what God has intended. 6 days we work, one day we rest. And Sabbath really is a gift. It's really a gift from God to us. God could have made us so that we didn't need it. But he didn't. He definitely didn't. And because of that, it's so important for us to acknowledge that we need rest and to find rest in him. Sabbath also, it's a celebration. It's a day to celebrate God's goodness, God's kindness. It's a day to remember his benefits, his blessings. Remember where he took us from. You know, so often, one of the things Andy says a lot of things I really like, but one of the things he often says is, he remembers when he first came to the Lord. He remembers his life before he knew Christ. There's no rest. I remember lying to myself all the time and telling me before Christ, this is good, you know, I'm having fun and all this. But the only problem was, you know, when I got a little bit older and I first had to start, well, I stopped shaving now, but I first had to start shaving. Every morning I look in the mirror, I'm shaving, and I realized I was lying to myself. It wasn't great. There was something missing. I remember those days now, because now I can look at myself and say, wow, God, you're good. You know, where I've been, what you've given to me, who I have been able to become because of your goodness, Lord. How I know you in the good times and in the really tough times. You know, because life is really hard. But rest, it gives us perspective. And I remember one time I tried to, early on when I was much younger, and I started a business, and one of the things we were doing, we were to try to get the business up. We're working, and there was a period of time, 1 year, where I think 4 weeks in a row, we worked 7 days. By the end of that time, I come home, and Kate would say to me, who are you? And I'm like, I was just totally, totally lost perspective. Obviously, I was totally exhausted, but I realized that's not the way to live. You know, Sabbath isn't, sometimes we think of Sabbath as, oh, Sabbath's a part of the fall. No, Sabbath's not a part of the fall. God created us before the fall to rest in Him, to practice the Sabbath, to keep it holy. It's a special day to orient our lives around our God. It's a special day to stop working. Even stop, like, I don't know if any of you are like my wife. I mean, me. You know, you might sneak a little, check the email. That's not good on a Sabbath. Again, not rules and regulations, but believe me, when we rest, we rest. It doesn't mean you just stop doing everything. It means in your heart or resting in the Lord. A part of that is trusting that God's in control. It's not about me putting in the hours or coming up with the great ideas or whatever it might be in your situation, getting the A's. But it's about resting in Him. It's about enjoying in Him. You know, I was thinking about this when I was putting this message together. The Lord really questioned me. You know, how do I enjoy Him? Sabbath is about enjoying Him. It's a special day where you can do things that you can't do those other 6 days. How do you enjoy Him? What is it that you do or don't do when you really are enjoying the Lord? You know, for me, oftentimes, I think I've said this before, I hear God and enjoy God when I'm on my bike. And this is a real man's bike, not a motorbike, a bicycle. And as long as I'm vertical on that bike, whew, I can really be locked into the Holy Spirit and just enjoy God. I don't know what it is, but for all of us, I think it could be different. It could be taking a hike. It could be walking. It could be anything. But there needs to be a place where we know we can go and really enjoy God. If we're not enjoying Him, we're missing. We're missing something. The funny thing is that, or maybe it's not funny, but God God did create a rhythm. And 6 days to work, 1 day to rest. Whatever that 1 day is. I know a lot, I have many friends who are pastors in the ministry. Sunday for them is a lot of work. They're up here, they're downstairs, they're all over. You can't rest on that day. You need a day where you set it aside to really rest. This one book I was reading on the Sabbath, it's written by a fellow named A.J. Swoboda. It's called Subversive Sabbath. Listen to this quote. He says, Sabbath is that ancient idea and practice of intentional rest that has long been discarded by much of the church and our world. Sabbath's not new. Historically, Christians have kept some form or another of the Sabbath for some 2,000 years. But it's largely been forgotten by the church, which has uncritically mimicked the rhythms of the industrial and success-obsessed West. The result of our Sabbath amnesia is that we have become perhaps emotionally exhausted, physically, psychologically overworked, spiritually malnourished people in history. People, we become an exhausted people. We've run, and we're missing. We're missing something in God. There's a place of rest that only comes by stopping, by ceasing from work, by looking to the Lord and resting. Today, that idea, and especially in the culture we live in that 24/7 culture. Those of us who are a little bit older, when we were younger, did you ever even hear that word, 24/7? Now it's like, it's not even new anymore, it's old. 24/7. The message is we gotta go. We gotta stay in tune. This is a little bit on the side, but I just find these things funny. Why do we have like 24-hour news now and 24-hour sports? Is there more news now? Is there more sports now? Well, there's probably more sports. But no, it's just that there's a business that's got to be make money, and so they drill us. How many times are you going to hear the weather today or the sports? How many times are you going to hear that my alma mater put a whooping on Ohio State last night? sorry. But it gets us going. Even our young children, the pressure that's on them. You go to school. It's not just good enough to get good grades. You got to get the A's. You got to be involved in the right clubs. You've got to be involved in the extracurricular. You've got to be in the sports. You've got to. And man, sometimes, you know, I work with the kids on Sunday morning, most Sunday mornings, and a lot of times I realize even some of these younger children are already tired because they're going. They really need time to rest. You know, then you get a little bit older, you get out of school, you start to get into the workforce, and woo. Larry, look at Larry. He lost more weight. Every time I see him, he's thinner. The pressure they put on you to keep going. One of my sons is currently looking for, is in a job market. And he told me, he said, it's interesting, Dad. He says, so many of these jobs I look at, they say, you can have all the time off you want. Unlimited vacation. The only thing is, wherever you go, whenever you go, we want you to answer this. We got you. We got that umbilical cord that you thought was cut. It ain't cut. So you can take time off, but if you're not responding all the time, if this thing's buzzing off the wall and you're not responding to it, sayonara. you're not going to be around very long. You're not going to move up. The pressure to go, go, go. And even as you get older, I would have never thought this, but now that I'm getting more mature, the pressure, like, you got to have that retirement. That retirement fund's got to be there, you know. And every year, of course, somebody tells us that retirement fund, you need more money, more money. It's more. The world that we live in, the culture we live in, is pushing us that way. But the kingdom of God, Jesus' message, Jesus' way, is not that. We trust in him. It's not about our abilities. It's about trusting in him. And out of that trust comes the rest. And out of the rest comes the work. We work out of rest. We don't rest out of work. We're strengthened. We're equipped to glorify God with our work. Our work is worship. And if you don't see your work as worship, you need to ask the Lord to open your eyes. Our work is worship. We worship with it. We show the world who Christ is by how we love them, how we serve them, how we come up with whatever your work may be. Maybe how you tune your piano or however you do that. How you build their gardens, you know, how you, whatever it might be. It's worship, but it comes out of rest. The way of Jesus is so different than the way of the world. Another thing I read, it was pretty interesting. You know, we'll try anything or everything. So in 1793, in France, of all places, France, they said, we got to really get our nation together. We're falling behind. We got to produce more. So they came up with this brilliant idea that in order to increase productivity, instead of having 7-day week, we're going to a 10-day week. Now you got 10 days to work. So they went into that. Well, it wasn't very long before suicide rate. People getting burned out, like I told you I was before. And what actually happened was production went down because we weren't made to work 10 days, to live in a 10-day week. There's something about that rhythm of 7 days that's right. That's the way God made us. I thank God he did make us that way. I wouldn't want to work. I wouldn't want to be on a 10-day week. The way of Jesus is so different. We find rest in him. Matthew 11:28, you know, he says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, exhausted, and I will give you rest. Jesus is our rest. He's the one who gives us rest from our striving, from our trying to do all the right things. He gives us rest, and he allows us the freedom to rest. So, in conclusion, how do we keep the Sabbath holy? I think I got a couple points that I think are worth us thinking about. I think we do it, number one, by just acknowledging that the Sabbath was made for us. It's not us made for the servant. It's not about, you know, you going home and figuring out how you can carve out 24 hours to cease working and what you can do and what you can't do. You know, telling your wife, no cooking tomorrow, baby. Or you may be the cook. I shouldn't say that. No cooking tomorrow. No this. No that. No. It's about acknowledging that the Sabbath was made for us to be a blessing for us, to help us, to free us. We humble ourselves and confess that we need it. You know, if you think of it, especially in the world we live in and the culture we're under. As I said before, our kids especially are being taught, you can do it, you can do it, you go, you go. It's a humbling thing to say, no, I need rest. Not only rest from my work, but I need rest from my brain. I need rest from my heart, my spirit. I need the physical rest too. You know, I used to think, I must confess, I used to think like, people who took naps, that was just really, really old people and, you know, people who didn't have a lot of faith. Well, I was wrong. Oh, naps are sweet, aren't they? Come on, Ronnie, aren't they? Some people are better at naps than others, but taking time to rest, taking time to focus, special time to focus on God. It's not that we don't focus on, we only focus on Him on Sunday, and then the 6 days we're out there running around. We focus on Him, of course, every day, but one day it's special. It's extra. We have time to draw near to Him. One of the things that, just as a little example, one of the things that my wife and I have done ever since we were married is take one time during the week, and that one time has varied a lot in 38 plus years, but a special time for just her and I to be together. And oftentimes it could be eating, because we like to eat, you know. It could be going for a hike, it could be going for a bike, it could be sitting down, it could be all kinds of things. But the fact that we've always done that has strengthened us in our relationship. It's strengthened us. There's no way we would have what we have today if we didn't take that time and invest it in each other. I think it's the same. I think the Sabbath is the same way. If we take the time, we all have whatever 7 times 24 is. We all have those hours. I don't know what that is, but we've got to take it. We've got to believe that God wants us to take time to rest in Him. The Sabbath is special. One of the things that I was reading about also, I thought it was really true, is that we need to find things that refresh us. And the Sabbath is about letting God refresh us. For some of us, it is taking a good old long nap because you're exhausted physically. For some of us, it might be the opposite. It might be getting out and riding that bike, getting out and climbing that mountain. It might be, it could be all kinds of things. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He did work, if you can. He went out, and it's not like we say, I can't do this, I can't do that. One of the things that I like to do when I Sabbath is call people on the phone. That's one good thing about these little guys. You know, you can call. It's like you can just scroll through there and say, Lord Jesus, show me. And, you know, you probably got, I don't know, 50, 100, 200 people in there. You can call them up. Whatever the Lord says, give them a shout. Let God give you a word for them. Maybe it's writing them a letter. You know, I was thinking about God might give you a word for them. It might be time to exhort them in one way or another. Or it might be like I have a fellow, a brother of mine, who was really the first guy to shepherd me and disciple me. And that's like 45 years ago. And at least once a year I call him. It's pretty amazing. He's still alive. He's 80. Oh, he's young. He's only 83 now. He's not old. But just letting him know how much of a blessing he was and he still is in my life. You know, if you read some of the epistles, it's Paul did that a lot. You know, he said, wow, man, I have you and I keep remembrance of you in my prayers. I keep remembrance that the way you serve the Lord, the way you generously gave, you know, giving, taking some time to do something special like that is refreshing, is sweet. All right, so in conclusion, let us be a people who live at a rest. That we live by faith, we don't live by works, we don't live by laws, but we acknowledge that we need rest. And, you know, I guess my challenge to us is to find your Sabbath. You know, wherever that is, find it and take it and use it to draw closer to God. Use it to become more of the man, the woman that God's created you to be. And we'll be strengthened as his people. We'll have more to give to the world that he's sent us to. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your ways are perfect, Lord, that we do find true rest, deep rest in you. And Jesus, we thank you that we no longer have to work for our salvation, but that you have granted it to us. And we freely rest in that, Lord. We freely trust in that, live in that. But Father, I ask you to help us to also to take a day to rest. Lord, to take a day, to a special day each week to enjoy you, to draw closer to you. Lord, to know you in a greater way and to be able to express you in a clearer, in a more powerful way. We thank you that your Spirit leads us, and I pray you would lead each one of us here. In Jesus' name, amen.